Here's your host, Tom Donahue, an investigative broadcaster and a man on a mission.
Good evening, Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Show. Welcome, America and beyond. Let me just say, I want to give a few shout-outs right from the beginning. Bill Freeze and Freeze Media, TalkStream Live, and, of course, our distribution partners, Salem Radio Network, SRN, thank you so much. This is a deal that came together very quickly. We didn't have a lot of time to promote this. What better time to start this program? The beginning, if you will. Well, the beginning of this country. Now, we're kind of in a little bit of an odd spot here because do you celebrate Independence Day? And that's the official name, not 4th of July. I know we say it. I know movies are labeled that way or titled that way. But it really is Independence Day. It is America's independence. And so I'm just really excited that we are starting this program on this very weekend in commemoration and celebration of the birth of our great nation. I'm telling you, well, that's where I broadcast from. That's where I hail from. But yes, I'm broadcasting from the cradle of liberty right here in Philadelphia, the birthplace of our wonderful country. And some of you might say, that voice sounds a bit familiar. Some of you are going to say, I don't know who he is. We're going to get to know me in this hour. And some might say, well, what kind of program is this? Well, it certainly has political overtones. And I'm a political independent, but I do advocate for certain positions. I love when someone says, well, I'm nonpartisan and I don't advocate. Just like with our so-called and the best and brightest in the newsrooms. No, they do advocate. There's very few broadcast journalists or journalists in print or otherwise that don't have an axe to grind, that don't have a point of view. We all have points of view, quite frankly. My point of view has been and always will be America first. And you say, well, are you just kind of riding the coattails of Donald Trump? That's not the way it works. My program dates back to 1990. Myself, and you might recall another name, Chuck Carter. Well, I just put together in the last couple months, many people think it's a tremendous tribute to the late, great Chuck Carter. I'm not trying to make this a retro show and a redo, a reboot. The point is, just like in anything in politics or history, There's always a foundation. There's always things that set precedents. There's things that you have to go back in time. That's right, back in the vault. And so if you look at the America First movement, and again, I wasn't alive, and I don't know all that much about the chapter one, if you will, 1.0, and that was in the 40s, and there was a lot of resistance to the entrance into World War II, and it had a lot to do with nationalistic fervor. Let's just put that aside for now, because I only know about 2.0 that I was part of, and that was in the early to mid-90s. Of course, Pat Buchanan played a huge role. Chuck Carter for the people played a huge role. There was even, quite frankly, in terms of America First, you had Bo Greitz, you had various others, but there weren't that many that really understood, that really wanted to take on this mantle, that really wanted to, I felt like I was carrying a duffel bag of responsibility. Now I just carry a backpack because so many people know about America First. People know about nationalism and populism and national sovereignty. I've been against the globalist New World Order, these gangsters of globalism from the onset. I was exposing and opposing the New World Order, the Federal Reserve System, what happened to JFK. In Dallas, Texas. Matter of fact, when I lived there, we put on a lot of rallies, a lot of seminars, a lot of luncheon meetings that related to what really happened in terms of the public execution of the President of the United States. And you say, well, if you're talking about JFK, maybe you're a liberal. No, I'm not a liberal. I'm a cultural conservative. I'm a constitutional crusader. I'm a political independent because I look at all the issues individually and constitutionally. Yeah, constitutionally speaking. You get it? Okay. We're going to explore and we're going to delve much deeper into the Trump phenomenon, how Trump came about. Many of you probably don't know this because a lot of information is controlled on the left and the right. You say, oh, wait a minute, Fox is a paragon of virtue. Well, just look at Roger Ailes, the late Roger Ailes. Look at some of the debauchery and the chicanery that went on at Fox News. Now, again, I tend to side with a lot of the perspectives and the viewpoints of many on Fox News. But why is Michael Savage banned from Fox News? That's a great question. Well, it's because he can be critical of some in the controlled conservative cartel. I have to say that if you were to tune into radio back in the 90s right now, and you were listening to Rush or Sean Hannity later on, I guess I don't remember when he started, late 90s, early 2000s, I don't know, Mark Levin. I don't like when anyone calls themselves great, because you're not great. The creator's great, okay? Most human beings are not great. Well, maybe Thomas Jefferson. But I just don't like when someone says, I'm the great one. Yeah, okay, that's just lovely. That's wonderful. And you say, well, you shouldn't be critical of anybody. Okay, well, so I should only be critical of politicians, politricksters. But never, you know, anybody that seemingly plays for our side. No, I call it fair. Not fair and balanced, because that's just total nonsense. You can't have fair and balanced on the left or the right. And why masquerade? Why try to hide that? Why not just be honest and say, hey, we tilt to the right. But we are talking about Independence Day. We are talking about the fact that party in terms of celebration. It's going to be for this holiday. And you have national holidays that are devoid sometimes of the most important parts of the holiday, and that's President's Day. Oh, so we should be celebrating Bill Clinton and Papa Bush and Son Bush and Obama? No, we should be celebrating George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison. That's my view. But oh, just throw them all in there. Well, the left's not going to celebrate Donald Trump. There is a little bit of a secret society, if you will. We'll get into all conspiracy stuff later. But in terms of, there's some people from the left, there's some people from the progressive left that are in hiding, but actually support Donald Trump, because Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders, you had the governor of California who was a presidential candidate that called Bill Clinton a sleazeball and a scumbag. He did during the 1992 election season during the primaries. At that time, Jerry Brown was, well, not quite an America first, but he was a nationalist that related to trade. Rush, Hannity, Levin, many others were all in favor of the free trade. They all were in favor of the Bush's wars. Yeah, the Bush's wars. But then all of a sudden, and then they were a little kind of like semi anti-Trump during the primaries, and they realized, well, maybe my career, maybe the fact is that with this earthquake in politics, that maybe we got to get on the Trump side. And Trump did triumph. We'll be right back. Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Show.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out, Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer, S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store. Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show. Always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
Good day and welcome, America and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Reports, Patriotism in Action. Putting America first, new world order dead last. More talk as it pertains to secession. Now, is it reasonable? Is it prudent? Is it commonsensical? In all due practicality, is it possible? Well, it's not impossible, but it's improbable. And it doesn't make a lot of sense unless you're talking symbolically and unless you're trying to talk in a political framework. But nevertheless, do states and individuals have that right? Oh, I believe it's an inherent right. It's a God-given right. It's a right that all humans, in terms of human dignity, have. And the founders of this great country, the founders and framers, and more specifically, Thomas Jefferson, when he was the primary author of the Declaration of Independence, this is what
the founders decided upon, and this is the original documents of the founding of this country, and it was a declaration, unanimous declaration of independence, and it was stated as such, and I've read this before on the program America's Town Forum, as well as the updated program in most recent times, whether it be Freethinker Radio or Tom Donahue Reports. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers on the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable or unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms for which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right and it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. And the founders went on based on what they found to be tyrannical, and the subjugation was no longer going to be accepted. Now, the founding fathers didn't say only in this case, but they did caution, and essentially in that cautionary note they said, don't do this for light and just transient reasons. It has to be significant, and there has to be, you know, you have to feel a sense of subjugation, and has to become insufferable. And so only you as individuals and only those states can make that call. And it's not just because Obama and the Obama administration. I think many felt this way, although maybe they didn't. Because I think it's, if you really find it, it's generally people more of a conservative, constitutional sensibility that is going to take these actions. Because even on the left and even in the, I don't know if you could say the anarchist movement, but I think the further left you go, I think that they would find that government is the solution. Its changes, as its progressive nature, would be more suitable. Whereas people on the more conservative constitutional end of the spectrum, they would say that limited government, but not anarchist or not no government, but responsible government, but very limited in nature, that this would be the rationale is that if pushed to the brink, they would reestablish a sense of order and a sense of government that was very limited and that actually upheld those laws, which meant with smaller government there would be more of a protection of individual rights and individual sovereignty and state sovereignty. With that said, in all likelihood, this will not advance. But it's fantastic to, at least from my perspective, in my view, to see that there is a national discussion. I would almost say a national disgust and discussion. And so it's so you're mocked. So that there is ridicule and scorn. Who cares? I mean, what is worse than living as an abject slave, you know, and a peon on the plantation? But the problem is you can't have the left and the right come together because many on the right still believe corporations are people, corporations are fine, and the rich can do no wrong. But on the left, they feel that government can do no wrong, except a few tweaks here or there for personal or civil liberties. So I want to get to what Ron Paul had to say about the secession movement. And it has become just, it's beyond just talk, good, bad, or indifferent. And it's beyond just petitions. It really is a movement. It's great to see that, you know, whether it's, you know, this election, whether, whatever the case or cause, it's about time that at least there is a serious discussion. And so I embrace the movement, but beware of the Alex Joneses, you know, the bullhorn bullies that will try to evoke or provoke because they're agent saboteurs and provocateurs because they would like to see blood in the street. I'm saying that it's not time for a actual rebellion or revolution of ideas and a restoration and reinstituting what the founders and the framers brought forward for us, that gifted us, that granted us, although really it's really something that is gifted by God, but I still see it as a gift that was bestowed upon us by the framers and founders, and they recognize that the grantor was the creator of the universe. So my sense is that will this go very far beyond a war of words? No. And should it at this point, in my view? No. But I remember there was a, I think he was running for a local office outside of Fort Worth. And all he did was allude to the fact that in the Declaration of Independence, it's kind of the last line of defense. And it's kind of like the last tool in the toolbox or the weapon in the arsenal. And he lost the election. I don't know if it was re-election or election, but I believe it was a state office. By the mere mention of this, he was considered too, of all things in Texas, to be too radical or revolutionary. I'm going to have to Google him and maybe, I know I haven't worked as diligently as I promised, but I am going to be setting up more interviews and taping those and making those available. And I do have some invites out. And I know that I've only accomplished two so far, but, you know, I have other obligations and, you know, and, it just takes time. You know, I don't have a social secretary, so it's difficult, you know, syncing those schedules with those that, and then there's a lot of people that want to be interviewed that I just don't have an interest in, or that I just don't feel like going down that path. But I may surprise you with some of the interviews in the future, but this, I think he was an elected official, and I think he lost re-election. And I'm sorry that I just don't recall it, but I talked about it on the program many months ago. But I think now you're going to find more people in the political arena are going to maybe talk about this or feel a little more comfortable, and even in the line of fire, because there will be fire from the major established media and even the two political parties, because and Ron Paul's on his way out, and Rand Paul is going to, he may just embrace a few quotes from his father, but that's about as far as Rancid Paul will go. And I did promise, and I will get to in either the next recording or maybe the one after that, of Ron Paul's farewell speech. And I want to spend, I would say, devote an entire program on those 38 points or those questions that were raised in his farewell address. But just staying with the subject of secession, let me pull up some remarks from Ron Paul. And this is what Ron Paul had to say. The article is entitled, "Secession Talks Raise a Lot of Worthwhile Questions." Representative Ron Paul makes clear his support of the idea of state secession in a statement appearing on his House website, meaning, you know, because he's the House of Representatives, on his official political website, in which he calls the idea a deeply American principle. His missive comes as numerous states, most notably Texas, have gathered petitions for secession since the re-election of President Barack Obama. Is all the recent talk of secession mere sour grapes over the election, or perhaps something deeper? Ron Paul writes, "While I wouldn't hold my breath on Texas actually seceding, I believe these petitions raise a lot of worthwhile questions about the nature of our union. Self-governance and voluntary association represent the foundation of our nation," he says. "Thomas Jefferson supported secession as a last resort." Yeah, and that's a good way of putting that, the court of last resort. So again, Ron Paul's talking about self-governance and voluntary association. The Declaration of Independence makes reference to the idea secession is a deeply American principle, Ron Paul says. This country was born through secession. Some felt it was treasonous to secede from England. But those traitors became our country's greatest patriots. People are entitled to a federal government that doesn't claw away at their freedoms, he says. If the possibility of secession is completely off the table, there is nothing to stop the federal government from continuing to encroach on our liberties, and no recourse for those who are sick and tired of it. The federal government should drop laws that a widely held majority of people oppose. If the feds refuse to accept that and continue to run roughshod over the people, at what point do we acknowledge that this is not freedom anymore? At what point should the people dissolve the political bands which have connected them with an increasingly tyrannical, oppressive federal government? So the essence is that secession talks, petitions, raise a lot of worthwhile questions. And there has to be a court of last resort. There has to be some bottom line. And if we felt like there was no recourse and that there was no political solution, if all others have been tried, and this is, that would still be political, even if it meant, you know, taking extreme action. Again, this is nearly impossible or improbable, and in all likelihood, it's the slimmest of possibilities at this very time that it may take more, you know, it may take a separation. It may take a radical downsizing from this governmental apparatus where so many on the left are wedded to, and they're embedded to a greater degree with government dependency and more of a dependency culture. So these are some of the issues that we face. Now, the one thing I did want to say is that, do you remember during the Republican National Convention, there were a few people, they're not little to me, but for them, they just figured, well, they'd be obscure. No one's going to really raise them. They're not going to go anywhere. But remember the audit, the Fed? That actually made it into the Republican platform. And I think it even went further than just auditing. And then we had, this happened during the Reagan administration. Ron Paul was even a part of it. It was a gold commission, you know, to look at the possibility of the backing of the currency, gold and silver, or some commission, or some standards. And well, there's not going to be any more talk about that unless Rand Paul brings it up in 2016. But again, just by raising the specter, at least allowing for some of these issues, it plants seeds. I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Reports. The website is TomDonahueReports.com. And have a great holiday upcoming. We look forward to the next broadcast and you joining us.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Ryan News Talk, news and views beyond the mainstream media.
Action Monday edition, United States Constitution Day, celebrating the 225th anniversary today, September 17th, 2012. 1787 was the actual date, 225 years ago. But most shows are not, or programs are not discussing that because it's irrelevant. As Mitt Romney pointed to Ron Paul when a constitutional question was posed, oh, he's the constitutionalist over there. Well, I'm a proud constitutional crusader, one of the original in talk radio. And yes, I used that moniker. Wasn't the name of the program. It was America's Town Forum, which later became Freethinker Radio, which eventually became Tom Donahue Reports. And I'm so glad to be with you. Last year, and I think even the year prior, we spent the entire day on the Constitution. Today, I'm not quite prepared to do that. I mean, I could be. I was doing a little research prior to the broadcast. There were very few stories. You know, if you do your internet searches or maybe say Google searches. But one of the things that I found that I was actually somewhat unaware of was in 2004, a proclamation was actually passed to make Constitution Day a national holiday. Maybe not in the ways that other holidays are, but it actually talked about the fact that, you know, it should be considered more or less a voluntary holiday. But if you were to look at federal or national holidays, there's only a few that would come to mind that could even be somewhat relevant. And that would be Independence Day, 4th of July. It would be Constitution Day. I would have to think that we could even put Bill of Rights Day. Those would all be appropriate and something that would be considered still voluntary, I believe, but still considered national holidays in terms of what we revere or celebrate or hold near and dear. It's all about the fact that when we talk about politics or the culture, if there's not a moral compass, spiritual underpinnings, if we're not a moral nation, we're not a just nation. And so morals do matter. So this program is about liberty, the pursuit thereof, freedom forward, truth in all matters, seeking it, telling it, and trafficking only in the truth to the best of our ability. It's about justice. And so when we talk about the Constitution, and right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, we have the U.S. Constitution Center, National Constitution Center. We have Independence Hall. We have the Liberty Bell. And I would highly recommend, if you're going to be in Philadelphia, to take the time. And you got some nice restaurants in the area and Penn's Landing. And also, you should take it in. You should definitely make a day of it. And I'm always in awe of that area. And I'm not the most metaphysical person. I like to think of myself more as a spiritual person. I do feel like a little bit of a sixth sense. And I do sense the spirits, and I do sense, I know I'm always inspired by spending time in that area. And so on this day, 225-year anniversary, and some people say, well, it's the Articles of Confederation. Okay, fine, great, all right, wonderful. But you have to remember, the United States Constitution more or less shackled the government. Now, they keep trying to find as much wiggle room as they can get, and they try to distort the founders' intentions. But the United States Constitution had more to do with, okay, these are your obligations, these are your duties, these are your limitations. And it was the limitations on power, and it was a division of powers. And so the United States Constitution is very important. I think the Declaration is more important. I think even the Bill of Rights is more important because it didn't give us rights. All it did was saying that the grantor is the creator, and government's only there to protect, secure, and defend those individual rights, those inherent rights, those God-gifted and granted and embedded rights. So on this day, when everybody's talking about Obama versus Romney or the Middle East madness, we here are doing something a little different. Well, we'll talk about that too. And I've done past programs where we devoted the entire program on constitutional issues. But I do wanted to start the opening monologue, and I wanted to let you know that, yes, I did remember, and it's worthy of remembrance, and to some degree even reverence, because that even though other countries are now starting to look beyond our Constitution, many that really want a true republic, putting the individual first as opposed to government first, and realizing, you know, that God is the grantor of the rights, the gifter of those rights, not government, then they do look towards the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, in the formation or reformation of their nation. And so that's why I believe it's that important to discuss that today, September the 17th. 2012, 225 years later, on Constitution Day, the United States Constitution Day, I'm Tom Donahue and proud to be a protectionist, and this is all about Patriot Talk Radio. Welcome back, Tom Donahue. Tom Donahue reports patriotism in action, proud protectionist, constitutionalist, constitutional crusader. Absolutely. Free thinker, political independent, have been, will remain so. But I'm right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, my current residence, my birthplace, the cradle of liberty. Absolutely. 225 year anniversary of the United States Constitution. Now, again, in terms of the hierarchy or the pinnacle of political prestige, I would have to place the Declaration of Independence at the top. In terms of human documents, I think divinely inspired, but still human documents, documents of man. And then I would place the Bill of Rights second. And thirdly, I would place the United States Constitution. Now, we can go back to the Articles of Confederation and various other writings and, you know, and of course, you know, there's other political documents. But I'm talking about the ones that we live, well, I wish our government lived by. But actually, you want to talk about mandates? The Constitution mandates certain prohibitions, limitations, the do's and don'ts of government. Doesn't mean that they abide by it, but the founders were very clear and they were very resolute in what was to be mandated in terms of requirements, obligations, duties, responsibilities, and limitations. Absolutely. But I'm looking at some of the information that I had researched. Here is something that is called Constitution Day, but it's also considered Citizenship Day. It's an American federal observance that recognizes the adoption of the United States Constitution and those who have become U.S. citizens. It's observed on September 17th, the day of the United States Constitutional Convention and the signing of the United States Constitution in 1787, on this very day, September the 17th. The law establishing the holiday was created in, it might surprise you, 2004, with the passage of an amendment by none other than Senator Robert Byrd to an omnibus spending bill in 2004. Before this law was enacted, the holiday was known as Citizenship Day. In addition to renaming the holiday Constitution Day, the act mandates, so that, well, there's that word again, that all publicly funded educational institutions provide educational programming on the history of the American Constitution. In May 2005, the United States Department of Education announced the enactment of this law and that it would apply to any school receiving federal funds of any kind. This holiday is not observed by granting time off from work for federal employees, though. When the Constitution Day falls on a weekend or another holiday, schools and other institutions that observe the holiday on an adjacent weekday. This was the case in 2005 and 11 when Constitution Day was generally observed on Friday, the day prior, September 16th. Universities and colleges nationwide have created the United States Constitution and Citizenship Weeks in order to meet the requirements of the law. How many of you knew this? I didn't know that it was mandated. I didn't. So Citizenship Day morphed into United States Constitution Day and an attachment to an omnibus spending bill, and a guy who is considered to be, well, one of the most liberal and certainly tax and spend and biggest spender of all time, binge spending, former senator, not just former senator, but the deceased Robert Byrd. I think he was still in the Senate at 90 from the great state of West Virginia, but many of you may not be aware of that. So you might say, well, it's just a factoid in history. Get back to speaking about Obama and Romney. Well, you can just shut the hell up because I'll do what I want. You say, well, who are you talking to, Tom? Well, I'm talking to people that mumble and grumble, that just want to get back to petty partisan politics and have that kind of political agenda. I have an agenda, but it overrides both of these contrived, controlled corporate political parties. And it all goes back to our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence. You know, being independent and being independent-minded is very important and very difficult to find these days, whether it's programming, whether it's just the average person. When they say, oh, he's a political independent, most people really aren't politically independent. And so I do have an agenda. My agenda is about liberty and freedom and justice and truth, and that's where I stand. For those of you that didn't know, maybe these are some interesting facts now in evidence. The Constitution Day, you know, could you imagine? I mean, it took someone like Robert Byrd. I don't know where he got the inspiration. I mean, this guy generally spent more time worrying about, well, in his old days, in his early days, there's no question about this. He had ties to the KKK. You say, well, that was the 1940s. And so it made it right to be part of the hooded KKK. Yeah. And yeah, he was a Democrat. But they say he, like many, they evolved over time. So you have a spending bill, of all places, to hide this new federal holiday that would not allow for, which is, you know, I wish there were no paid federal holidays for the at least the public sector. Hey, private sector, if an employer wants to pay you, a boss wants to pay you, you want to pay people that work for you, hey, that's fine. It's up to you. It shouldn't come out of the taxpayer coffers. So we have a federal, and again, maybe, I'm not sure what I said as it relates to this. This part I didn't know when I talked about this. Matter of fact, I broadcast it. Was it 2009 or was it 2010? It's either 9 or 10. I broadcast it from the National Constitution Center and even spoke with Janine Turner, who has a really fine group, Constituting Us, I believe is the organization. I have it tied to some of my logos or you'd say banners on the website at TomDonahueReports.com. But if you were to click through on some of the constitutional banners on my website, it'll take you to Janine Turner's organization. Now, the 10th Amendment Center will take you to the 10th Amendment Center, you know, the banner ad I have there. And they're not paid. They're just – I just want to remind people the importance of these documents. So for instance, if you were to click on, I believe, We the People. Let's see. That's all the quotes from the Founding Fathers. That's kind of a cool website, too. I'm going to go over some of this and continue this theme. We are live. It's the Monday edition. It's the 225th anniversary of the United States Constitution. Right back, old tight. Welcome back, Tom Donahue. Tom Donahue Reports, Patriotism in Action. So glad you can be with us. Yeah, if you're on the website, my website, TomDonahueReports.com, if you click on the Bill of Rights, it will take you to, it's a Constituting America. And so if you want to spend some time with your children, and the website is really geared toward our youth and getting them involved in constitutional education and activities at an early age. So I do want to salute Janine Turner for someone who was an actress that some people thought was kind of ditzy and, you know, just kind of like how could she even get involved in anything political? Well, now she's doing a political radio talk program weekly, and I think even a recorded podcast during the week. She appears on Fox News, and I don't agree with her on everything. Of course not. And she's too tied to the Republican Party, in my view, but that's my take. But nevertheless, I salute her for putting in the time and the energy and the resources and putting together an organization called Constituting America, because that's the way you reach out to the kids and to the youth and to our upcoming and future generations. So for that alone, I put her in the Hall of Fame for today. And the fact is that she's involved in activities and creative contests and exercises with kids to get them more involved in learning about the Founding Fathers and the Framers and our great constitutional system and our republic. On that level, I salute her and appreciate her and respect her. So anyway, if you click through any of these banners, We the People, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the 10th Amendment Center, it'll take you to sites, and they're not paying me. I just decided that rather than just put up banners that are educational and a reminder and a reflection of what I believe and what propels me or inspires me or motivates me, at least if you click on those banners, it'll take you to sites that'll help inform and educate and inspire and motivate. So there you go. So whether it takes you to 10th Amendment Center or quotes from the Founding Fathers or the United States Constitution Center or Constituting Us, that's why I have those on the site. But it is the 225th anniversary of the United States Constitution. I'd rather see it voluntary. I don't think anything should be mandated in that regard. It should be encouraged. But in some ways, you'd almost have to say, well, that's kind of a good mandate. But when you go into good and bad mandates, you can go down the slippery slope there. So, yeah, if you're receiving federal dollars on Constitution Day, you better have some kind of program in place. Matter of fact, the day and maybe even the week that's supposed to be educating our youth. Or it doesn't have necessarily. You don't have to be a youthful person. You could be someone that's gone. I mean, any institution of higher learning, any grade really. But yeah, any educational endeavor that's connected federally has any kind of funding or ties, you have to be talking about this in some way, shape, or form, or fashion. And I think that's, well, I don't want it mandated, but if you're going to mandate something, learn about the Constitution. Learn about liberty and freedom and the founders and the framers and the limitations on government and its responsibilities and obligations and duties. Yeah, there you go. So that is why I'm talking about it today, and that's why I'm trying to share with you some information that you may or may not be aware of. I was looking for news stories 225 years ago, right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, September 17th, 1787. And it's just a very brief story, but it's more about, you know, this document, this original, the personal constitution of George Washington. So then there're not that many stories. You would think that the Sludge Report would have something, Newsmax would have something, that various other outlets would have something. It's almost like a news blackout of the United States Constitution Day. National Constitution Center here in Philadelphia, you know, has something because of their anniversary and celebrations. And, you know, I think this is the only day, call it National Constitution Center here in Philadelphia, is open and free. Everybody has a free pass to visit and participate, which is great. And I absolutely thoroughly enjoyed my time there a couple of years ago, besides the fact that I was broadcasting from the National Constitution Center. Human Events also has a story that covers conservative news, but not so much. But yeah, there's a few little blurbs about certain celebrations going on around the country, but not much. But that's why we're talking about it and sharing the good news. Right back, hold tight. Welcome back, Tom Donahue. Tom Donahue reports patriotism in action. Again, I don't favor national or federalized holidays, especially taxpayer-supported, but I have to say, probably the only act that was, and it was still done kind of, well, it was legal, but it was kind of covert, subrosa, if you will, under wraps, attaching a bill to an omnibus spending bill. Robert Byrd was able to sneak through this national or federal holiday commemorating the anniversary of the United States Constitution. Now, some might say that, well, that's part of propping up his legacy. Some might say that, well, there's certain provisions within the United States Constitution that give or grant certain powers to the federal government. Yeah, but they're limited. Now, I think the Commerce Clause was something that was somewhat dubious, but the founders, I don't think, realized what that could become, and that it could open the Pandora's box to greater federal intrusion and trespassing into the states. But there had to be some way that in a limited, although somewhat unified, these several states, that there had to be a way that the national government could work within the states when needed, and to be able to regulate commerce and various other activities that were, you know, interstate, and be able to somehow, I guess, negotiate or to be able to arbitrate, you know, issues that would arise that would involve more than just the individual states. So how does one, you know, resolve disputes and issues that go beyond one's, you know, state lines or the borders of those individual sovereign states? But nevertheless, if there were not such stringent limitations on a variety of things, I think we would be under complete and total abject tyranny, and there would not be even be a resemblance of our republic as we have today, as imperfect in terms of application and reality in 2012. But nevertheless, if you're going to look at national or federal holidays, you have to look at these important documents that the founders and framers helped create and bring into existence on those days. But as long as it's not being paid for, but I think celebrations and I think days of recognition and remembrance are important. Why can't we do this with all these national holidays, that they're not federally funded or underwritten or mandated, even though this, in terms of education, but I guess if you're taking federal dollars, well, the federal government would have some say and jurisdiction. And if you're going to look at a mandate that you would say, hey, I kind of like, I know, and again, it's slippery slope, but if all institutions of higher learning receive federal dollars, they're supposed to be talking about the United States Constitution on this day, and perhaps as many are this week. And so those kind of reminders and remembrance, it's a good thing. But again, we don't have to look to the federal government for those reminders. Although some would argue that it's better than nothing, because so few remember, and so few will actually celebrate or commemorate or support or share with others this important day in history. But it is the 225th anniversary, and we are talking about the United States Constitution. And no, I'm not. I think the last couple of years I've read many, many passages from the Constitution, and I think you can do that on your own. I didn't really feel motivated to start reading verbatim, although I have at times, and sometimes it has nothing to do with a day of celebration or commemoration. But I do believe that we should, you know, and there's many days, you know, that I bring to the table my views and my concerns, or whether it's July 4th, Independence Day. There's various other days that we talk about based on United States history or world history, or you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I know you might listen to some whacked out programming that, oh, if it's not the Articles of Confederations and the Founding Fathers, they're all Masons and they all conspired against us. And okay, who are your heroes then? Is every or are they all zeros? They're great granddaddies of the Patriot Movement. I mean, really, if those founders were alive today, there's no doubt that they would have blogs. There's no doubt that they would have they'd be using the social media. They would be using, you know, maybe even talk radio. You know, they would be broadcasting somehow, some way, their views to the masses. They wouldn't sound like the haters and blamers. I can guarantee you that. They would be articulate. They would be intelligent. They'd be well informed. You know, people say, well, everybody's entitled to an opinion. That is true. But you know, the only opinions that hold regard with me are informed opinions. And if you're uninformed and uneducated and you're rude and crude and lewd, you're not welcome. And you say, oh, well, you sound so highbrow. No, I don't have time for illiterates. You know, I don't have time for inbreds. I don't have time for the uninformed, because we have access to a universe of information where you don't even have to go to a library. You don't even have to go out and purchase a book or a newspaper. The world is your oyster. You have that information. The intelligence is there if you choose to tap into it. Now, you still have to be the discerner and the decider. But if you're not an informed voter, an informed listener or caller, you can only blame yourself. Stop blaming your parents or the media or whomever. There's no time to blame anybody but yourself. What have you done lately for your country? What have you done lately for your family? What have you done lately for your community, let alone yourself? Stop blaming everybody else. I mean, it's a time now that we have to take hold. We have to take action. And that's what I've tried to do for the last three decades. And 1987 for the bicentennial celebration. That's right. 25 years ago, this young lad, Tom Donahue, and his organization, ALA, the American Liberty Association, was selected by the Dallas Morning News as the person and the organization that most represented the principles and the precepts of the Founding Fathers. And so we were selected as the group, and they called us Monetary Revolutionaries, for the bicentennial celebration of the Constitution, an 8-page layout in the Dallas Morning News, Dallas Life magazine. And they called us Monetary Revolutionaries. They believe a secret conspiracy rules the world. They believe having a Social Security number gives ground to the enemy. They believe that they can do what they want with their money. More to come, Tom Donahue. Tom Donahue reports, still fighting on for truth, liberty, justice, and the American way.
At OrionTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
And if you just joined us, you might say, what are you talking about? We're not hearing it anywhere else. Well, it's because many of them are ill-informed, under-informed, or uninformed as it pertains to the Constitution, our freedoms, our rights, because they're concerned about Obama versus Romney. Yeah, they're playing political romper room today. They're politically absent today, or you could say delinquent, because what would be more important if you're part of the United States of America than talking about something as precious and as priceless and as prestigious as the United States Constitution? That's right. On this very day, 225 years to this day, the framers and the founders decided to forge a constitution, a national constitution, that essentially spelled out a division of powers or separation of powers. It shackled, at least they thought at the time, the national or federal government. It was a enumeration of powers, a limitation of powers, a delegation and a delineation of separate powers. And not only the three branches of government, but essentially said, this is the federal government's limited obligations, responsibilities, duties. And beyond that, they were to mind their own business. But it was a limitation, not an expansion of powers, a limitation. It was a clear definition or defining of those powers in a limited fashion. That's what we had. That's not what has become of this national federal government. But yes, the founding fathers decided that we needed a national constitution, and it was a way of bringing the states together in a limited rather than more uniform or unified way. And it was a way that we wouldn't have wars between the states, or at least they thought at the time. And it'd be a way that the government could play a very limited, but very useful and productive role. And that it could tie together these several states and bring together some unity of purpose and mission without destroying or disrupting or usurping or trespassing over the rights and the boundaries and the borders of the sovereign nature of those individual or several states. But on this very day, 225 years to this day, we're celebrating the Constitution of the United States. Now, if there were ever a day, or days I should say, that there should be a national or federal holiday, not enforced or mandated, and voluntary. And today, if you're just joining us, I do want to remind you that I was unaware, and I guess you could say uninformed, that in 2004, of all political animals, or subterranean creatures, Robert Byrd, United States Senator, till I believe the age of 90 or 91, decided in 2004 to add to the omnibus spending bill a national holiday, unpaid, but recognized in the United States Constitution Day in 2004. Well, this is what this program is about. Inspiration, motivation, education. We want well-informed opinions. So on Constitution Day, I'm saying reapply the principles. Double down on our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, and our Bill of Rights. Because they got those 10 right. Oh, they're totally right and right on.
Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Listening to the best of Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports.